Good morning, it's KX93.5. It's Laguna's only FM. I was just telling our next guest how it took me forever to learn how to do the knobs and switches around here, and because I'm old, you know, and then because I'm very proud that I've finally figured it out, and then, of course, I made a complete mess of it right then. So there you go. Morning, David. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
All right. David Hansen is here. People in Laguna are going to get confused because there's a David Hansen in Laguna. Are you aware of this?
Not aware.
Ah. David Hansen is a local journalist, very popular guy. At the Coastline Pilot.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a thorn in the side of the city, so we like him a lot here. And so everybody's heard of Deb, but it's David Hansen, I think, and you're
with an O.
Hanson.
Hansen with an O. He might be with an E.
So, 32 years in firefighting, sir.
Yes. Firefighting, fire inspections, fire prevention, and I did a lot of different things, a little bit of everything.
Is that common that people spend their entire lives in that career?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, you find your niche, you find your little thing that you like to do. And for me in the beginning years is obviously wanting to fight fire. But in my last part of my career, I wanted to be a fire inspector and fire prevention and teach the message of saving lives by writing up reports and doing inspections with a pencil instead of with a fire hose.
Right. Did you start? You start with a sort of sense of wanting to be of service to your community, or was it the adventure?
It was both. Was helping people—that's always a driving factor—and then also the excitement and enjoyment of being with the guys,
right,
the
camaraderie,
ladies,
the brotherhood that you have
because you go to classes together all across the state, getting training, and you meet different guys from different departments, and it's just a brotherhood.
So let me just go through, because you're too humble to tell everybody what, you know, the whole thing, and you probably can't remember anyway, because you're old like me.
Yes.
But I've got a list here that says that you firefighter, fire inspector, captain, assistant fire chief for Raytheon, big organization, and Torrance Fire Department as a fire inspector, and you've headed up their public education section for a few months in 2016. Ba-ba-ba-bum. It's Fire Prevention Week, that's why you're here.
Yeah, that's the big deal. And every year at this time, you know, we have these fires in Southern California, and it's a coincidence, I guess. But the week started in 1871, the Chicago fire. That's when this all happened. There was a huge fire. It destroyed buildings in the city of Chicago. There was over 200 people killed. And 100,000 are displaced in that fire. And ever since then, they've had this week where they've used it. It became a national week with Calvin Coolidge, our president, in 1925. And it's one of the longest, it is the longest week of a program. That's been running since 1925 is Fire Prevention Week.
Right. They should have done it after the Great Fire of London. They should have thought about it then. Actually, well, that was a decent fire. That was a good fire because it killed the plague.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess fire's good if you have the luck or the right usage of it.
And the way, and a way to get to escape. Because,
yes,
you know, we shouldn't make fun of it because so many people killed up in Napa recently this week. And then...
Oh, it's tragic, you know, and it just hurts. They're doing a great job, the firefighters in both the large fire areas. But... the fires are not the same. You know, you have one here with the brush, the light brush, and then you have the ones that are more in a forest area that has a lot more things that can catch fire, a lot more fuel. And once those things get going, you know, it's pretty tough.
Well, people in Laguna, of course, remember the 1993 fire. That's the big one that sticks in people's minds here. I forget how many homes were destroyed, but a lot of homes destroyed. $450 million worth of damage, people's lives ruined, you know, people that didn't have insurance and all that stuff. So, you know, and I remember coming here after the fire, coming to visit my dad, who was living here at the time, and it was really like an apocalyptic scene here in town. Hard to really picture, you know, now that Laguna's rebuilt itself. But it's close to everybody's hearts. We're all very familiar with the fires every year. It's the season. Tis the season. What is it about this season? Obviously, it's dry.
Well, it's dry. The winds, you know, once it gets going, if there's fuel to burn, by the time the units get in place, the fire spreads. So it's such a magic thing with fire because it creates its own weather system. And it burns so hot and travels so fast. And if people don't have a plan in place to get their stuff out, what they need, their medications and things like that, it can be tragic. And there are some things that you can do to make your house more well-equipped to be prepared for a fire, and that's clear out the debris around, make sure the pine leaves or pine needles are out. You want to make sure that the screens have the eaves have screens that won't let those embers go in. And that's something that, you know, maybe down here we don't need that so much, but up north where you got all those hot embers floating around, those eaves are where the sparks come in, and that's what gets the attics on.
But that's how you know, if you see right now, I've been looking at photographs of Napa and some of these towns that are completely destroyed, and you look at these wide boulevards and you think, how did that happen?
Yep.
That the fire went from one side to the other? Well, it's these, as you say, it's the embers.
Yes.
And this, and fire creating its own ecosystem, that's interesting to me. So the fire gets hot, and the heat of the fire in and of itself creates the situation for more fire.
Yeah, and it just swirls, and depending on if it's going downhill or up, if it's flat land, it just creates a storm that is, and I saw it myself in the Malibu fire in 1993. I was on strike team 1362. The fire itself, it's 100-foot flames coming down, 50-foot flames, and they're moving, and there's not a whole lot that can be done if it's coming that way. Like I said, there are things that you can do before, and that most of it is getting a defendable space around your property.
Right, let's get into that a little bit about what people can do. So keeping it swept is one thing, keeping the place swept, not having piles of stuff around.
Right. And you can also do things like make sure you have the proper trees planted and the plants that aren't going to catch fire. If you have a pine tree in front of your house, those are sometimes pretty tough because once they get going, there's a lot of oil in those pine trees. So you want to try to plant things that will not burn so easily.
Yeah. Where can people find out information about that kind of stuff? Because I wouldn't know.
Well, you know what? It's funny. When I started this business, you know, you did do a lot of work. You know, go in the newspaper. The Register this morning had a great article on some of this stuff in the front page, and it showed the Napa fires up north. The newspaper, I'm an old guy, so I still actually read it. I don't go online and look at it. So I actually cut out things and put them on the newspaper, show my kids, you know, don't want to do this if you're there. But, you know, the fires that were out there did so much damage. And the things that you can do, like I said, we've already talked about, you know, planting the proper trees and plants around, putting those screens on the attic vents. The other thing you can do is make sure you got things moved around so you don't have plastic chairs and things out there. And get a plan together. You know, you need to get a plan.
For if, God forbid, that something should happen. That article is interesting. I'm just looking at it at the Register. And people should know, in terms of going online, LagunaBeachCity.net has a great home fire protection segment on their website.
So. Yeah, and you know, I was going to tell you that, you know, now you can Google pretty much anything. And
right, well, I just did. That's exactly NFPA, what I just did.
So, I mean, I'm an old guy, so I still do things the old way, but, you know, I still read the paper. I got a hard line on my phone because I know in an emergency that hard line on your phone is going to work probably better than a cell phone.
Is that right? Because yes. We would think so. My conventional or unconventional wisdom would think that, you know, the lines are down. Or,
yeah.
But a lot of those lines are underground, right?
Yeah.
The phone lines.
Yeah, so that's, you know, but... you know, you go on, you Google whatever you want on that computer, man. I was on there last night, and I just, you know, because I haven't done this, because I'm retired now, so I don't always go in and look at everything. But because of this week, I did some extra research and looked at some things, and it's unbelievable. All the NFPA, FEMA, the information there for people is just unbelievable.
Yeah, so just, you know, the advice is probably... Go somewhere sensible anyway for that advice.
Yes. And your local fire department. Obviously,
right.
You have a local fire department. Go to those guys. They will help you. They'll give you information. They'll know your area better than I do now, and they'll tell you what you need to do for your own homes. And for your own work. It's not only your home, it's your work too. You know, you gotta do those things that make your house and your work safe.
Well, when you first walked in the building here, you said to me, you've got no sprinklers. Like, you noticed that immediately. And then we found some because they were hidden behind some little
plastic. They had those little, it's a white ceiling and they had the caps on there.
So we do have them.
Yeah, so you're good there.
Yeah. So that's, but a lot of old buildings don't have them, older buildings, and they don't have to have them because they don't have to be compliant with new laws and stuff.
Yeah, and as we talked about it, as you build on to a building, the code requires you to add sprinklers and smoke detection and fire-rated walls or whatever the code requires. So slowly we're bringing everything up, and hopefully the day will come where everything is built where if it does catch fire, it won't burn very much, and will save lives.
I would think that the Adobe-built homes, you were telling me this before we went on the air, Adobe-built homes are safer, they're less likely to burn than wooden homes. That makes absolute sense. It's obvious, really. But what can people who live in those old Craftsman wooden homes do to retire? I'm talking about the outside of the house now. We're going to get to the inside in a minute.
Right.
We talked about brush and about the right kind of trees and vegetation.
Right.
What about the house itself?
Well, the house itself, if it's a wood house, if it's a wood roof, it's going to be hard. You need to have a roof that will not burn. So there's tile roofs, there's the concrete shingles. That's a big deal because those embers, if they get on a wood roof, it's going to be pretty tough.
So there's not much you can do about sort of painting on some sort of fire
retardant
material?
There are some things out there that you can spray. I don't have a lot of information on that. There are some things that you can spray on your house that's like a gel foam and things like that. But some of that stuff you have to do right before the fire's coming, or, there are some things that you can use to make it so it won't burn quite as easily. But if it's a wood house and a wood roof, it's going to be tough.
It's dangerous, yeah. All right, so inside the house, because we're getting to something very important here. Inside the home, smoke detectors, sprinkler systems, obviously, if you can afford it. What can people do that's inexpensive, should we say?
Okay, inexpensive. Well, the homes are going to have smoke detection. The most important thing about that is that you need to have one in each bedroom, one outside in the common area, and then one downstairs if it's a two-story house. So that obviously is something that you need to look at and also inspect. They should be checked once a month. And the new detectors are 10-year detectors. The older detectors have the 9-volt batteries, and then the ones that chirp, and people take the batteries out. And
right, because it's making a noise. I've done
right.
it myself. I
and
really
it,
have.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
And so the bad thing is that the batteries don't get put back, and then they go to sleep, and then that's an issue. Because lots of fires happen when people are sleeping, and lots of times the smoke detectors didn't work because something was done to them.
So I've got these new smoke detectors. The landlord just put them in a few months ago. Should they still be checked once a month? Got to make just. To
I
make
would
sure?
check them every month. There's
really?
A little button on there to test.
Yeah.
And the newer detectors are really great because they're a lithium battery and they're 10-year detectors.
Yeah.
And they have not only smoke detector capability, but some of them are starting to have motion detection. If a detector goes off from smoke and you're at work, you'll get an app
on
your
phone.
I
don't have
it will
that.
Say.
Yeah.
So there's some things coming. I think down the road, the smoke detector of the future will have a camera in it, will have a motion detector, and it'll be able to find smoke and fire and detect it right away. And you want those all to be like interlocked. So if one detector goes off, they all go off. And
right.
Smoke alarms is what they changed to. I wrote my song Beep Beep, but I couldn't say smoke alarms. I had to say smoke detectors because it rhymed better with the song.
Well, you should. I would have helped you with that. Alarm,
you
what's alarm? Harm would have been a good rhyme.
I'm a smoke alarm.
Yeah,
I'm a smoke
you
detector.
From harm.
So that's a little better. As you hear in my song,
Trying to keep calm. No, I don't know. I'm not the
yeah.
greatest. But we've got those. We've also got a carbon monoxide detector in our house too.
Right.
And all of that. So that's important.
Yeah. And then some of the other things you want to do, you want to go around your house and look at the wiring, the electricals.
Mm.
You want things to be overloaded. Anytime you put something on there, it has an amperage on it, and it will tell you how many amps go into that surge protector or whatever. So you need to be real careful on how much you're putting into any kind of plug. Electrical fires are are one of the most common fires that start. And so you want to really watch how many electrical cords, especially with Christmas coming and all that.
It can be unseen as well. You switch on a light and the cable is in the wall. Right. You know, everybody's repiping the homes at the moment. So it's probably worth having a look at that too.
And I would also say, you know, you got to look at keeping the house neat, you know, as far as, you know, clutter. And in the kitchen, you want to make sure you have your fire extinguisher, you know how to use the fire extinguisher, and you want to make sure you have a large lid so that if you have something catch fire, you can put the lid on the stove and put it out because a lot of fires happen in the kitchen.
Are you listening? Do the dishes and tidy up if you're listening to this. For goodness sake, what a mess. You're a fire hazard.
But everybody should have the training to use a fire extinguisher. And I know people don't, but go to your local fire department. Talk about how to use a fire extinguisher. They got videos. They got things to do to help you. But everyone should have an extinguisher. But you also want to not fight something that's too big. You want to be able to escape. And that's kind of the theme this year is to have two ways out. Two ways out of your building that you're in, two ways out of your home. That's the big theme that they're pushing this year, that you want to get out, and every second counts.
Yeah, so that's the other thing. So we've got the outside of the house, the inside of the house, and also know your environment, know where you are, know what
exactly
how you can get out and get away from danger. The fire department is one of those rare institutions that doesn't want your business. They don't want to help you. So I'm sure that they're really the firefighters in town that I know just want to help you to know what's going
on.
So you can just go visit them anytime, you know. If they're not out fighting a fire or saving somebody's cat from a tree, they'll help you.
Yeah. And a shout out to all those guys out there doing the beat with the fire inspections. Those fire inspectors, you know, they don't get the same kind of clout sometimes that the guys do fighting the fires, but they're doing a really important job. And the thing is, you never know how many of the times that they would have stopped a fire with fire prevention.
Right. Well, a shout out specifically to Jeff Latendris, our guy here in Laguna Beach, and my personal friend, Dan Conroy's fire chief. We hang out at the dog park together. So they're local, they're here to help you, and they want to help you. Now, let's get on to the thing. The Beep Beep song that you mentioned before. How did this come about?
Okay, well, I used my guitar and singing as a prop to teach fire prevention, and it's probably one of the things that I had some friends that heard my songs, and they said, well, that's a silly song, but it's got a good message. And I started writing songs, and I've written quite a few, and I've sang them from Scotland to California, and I've enjoyed that. I've gone to lots of schools, and it kind of helped me, you know, teach kids and adults. I've gone to several schools. I've gone to countless times where I've sung Beep Beep, and some other songs, too.
You went to England, didn't you, Scotland?
Yes,
went
there.
Did you sing your songs there in Scotland?
I did. Went to Scotland, and I did that for the fire unit for Raytheon. They had me do inspections out there and at their companies, at the aerospace companies. And got quite a kick from the people out there. You know, they're nice people in Scotland. The firefighters brought me over to the fire department, and they did you trade badges and stuff when you go to different places.
Sure, yeah, I'm sure, like
you
soccer players change.
Yeah, you trade little things, and they traded some emblems with me, and they, in my honor, I guess they cut up a Fiat for me with Jaws of Life, so it was pretty cool.
It's cool.
There's a brotherhood wherever you go.
Do they fight fires in kilts over there? That must be very dangerous.
Yeah, I didn't see that, but I did see that.
Let's play the song. This is Beep Beep by our friend and our guest, Dave Hansen. He's a firefighter from, where do you live now, Dave?
Laguna Niguel. Well, Ladera Ranch, actually. Right. I used to live in Laguna Niguel.
Right, and a local guy, but has been all over the world spreading the word about fire prevention. And here's a song that he's written with, as you say, silly song maybe, but beautifully recorded, in my opinion, and a really great, strong message about fire prevention and specifically smoke detectors. It's Beep Beep on KX93.5.
I'm a smoke detector. Most people don't see me. I spend my days and nights hanging out on the ceiling. But I'm on duty 24-7.
Well, what do you think about that? Beep, beep, I love you. That the sentiment, of course, is, well, it's written from the point of view of a smoke alarm. I'm spending a little extra time on this today because I think it's very important, especially in view of the fact that we have these big fires and, you know, people have lost their lives, certainly up there in Northern California, and very, very fortunate to have such great firefighters again down here. And just the nature of the fire down here meant that although some structures were burned in the Anaheim Hills fire there, Canyon Fire too, nobody lost their lives. And that is not just a miracle, but it's also obviously down to the fact that we've got incredible firefighters who know how to use the technology to clean that thing up. It was over in 2 days, and that's pretty impressive when you think 8,000 acres burned up there. And our guest this morning is Dave Hansen. We do have to get back to the show, back to playing music and stuff, Dave. But thanks again for that. That's Beep Beep. When did you write that song?
I wrote that song around 2007, 2008.
And it won an award here. I'm looking at the NFPA award. What's NFPA?
National Fire Prevention Protection Association.
Right. And you won an award at the Mandalay Bay, another place that's been in the news this week. Fantastic, though. I'm not laughing at the event. I'm laughing at you standing there with a big award in your hand in a photograph.
Yeah, it was quite a deal. It was quite a fun thing to do. I had my team with me that did the program. We taught the fire that year was beep, beep, the message. So it was check your smoke detector, make sure they work. And the song clicked, and the song was part of the program that helped us get the award. It was not just me. It was the whole team.
The whole team of people that put this thing together. Yep. But still, you're the man, Dave. You've got a 5-point plan here.
I just wanted to tell everybody, that you want to make sure you have two ways out. You want to make sure that you have a plan for fire prevention in your home and at work. Know how to use a fire extinguisher, and know CPR. Learn CPR. And the last thing is, if you see something, say something, because this place that we live in today, we need to help each other, and we need to make sure that if you see something unsafe or you see something that looks not right, that you let somebody know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's the thing that really is impressive for me about you, though. You're a big-hearted guy, and you really are, it comes from a place of really wanting to help. And And I'm very grateful to you for coming in.
Well, it's been a great honor, and a shout out to the Torrance Fire Department and Chief Cerna and the boys at my old job, Raytheon Fire. And it's been a great honor to be in the fire service, and I love it, and I love the guys. It's a brotherhood. And thank you for having me on the show.
No, of course, mate. And this is going to be available as a podcast soon. So you'll be able to send this out to all, you'll be able to annoy all your friends with this for years to come. No problem at all, mate.
Beep, beep, the song that will never die.